I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Today, I'm really happy to have with us somebody who's quite a big name in the e-commerce world and online training for e-commerce generally. And that man is Steve from My Wife Quit My Job.
My wife quit my job too.
So you were both quit your job. So, Steve, warm welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really happy to be here today.
Great. So, Steve, let's get started with your story and your wife, of course, famously, and how you got started with e-commerce and what sort of got you into the whole space.
Yeah, I mean, the main reason we started our e-commerce store was so my wife could stay at home with our kids. We live in this area in Silicon Valley that's really expensive. You need two incomes. And at the time, my wife was making six figures. As soon as she became pregnant, we were like, you know, oh my God, we definitely want one of us to stay at home with the kids. And so we were basically just looking for ways to replace her lost income, which was, I think, about $105,000 at the time. And we decided to sell handkerchiefs. There's a story in itself in that. But we ended up making $100K in profit in our first year. And it allowed my wife to quit her job in good conscience. And we didn't have to worry about any money at that point.
Wow, that is certainly a huge success story. So there are various things that you can teach us because you have such big e-commerce knowledge and success behind you now. But the first thing I want to start is what you did originally and what the kind of modern version of that is, if the landscape presumably has changed.
Did originally in terms of our e-commerce store, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the way we kind of, okay, so let me give you a little bit of backstory on that. So when we first got married, my wife, we spent a lot of money on photography, and she knew she was going to cry. So she looked all over the place for a handkerchief to dry her tears of joy on, you know, for the photography and the videographer. We ended up not being able to find any in the United States. And finally, we found this vendor in China, turned out to be a factory. So we had to buy like hundreds of these handkerchiefs, even though we were only going to use like six of them. So we used six of them, and then we sold the rest on eBay, and they ended up selling like hotcakes. And so when it came back, you know, to that time when she became pregnant, we actually got back in touch with that vendor. We ended up importing some, trying to sell on eBay at first, just to make sure that there was still demand for these items. And as soon as we ascertained that there was demand, then we launched our own site. And selling on Amazon, this was back in 2007, and selling on Amazon wasn't really in the books back then.
Okay, interesting. So a couple of things that ping out immediately are that you basically were scratching your own itch, as they say, so that you were looking for a product as a consumer, really, and you just couldn't find it. And that's how you sort of stumbled across this need. And the second thing is that before launching your own store, that you wanted to check demand somewhere.
That's correct. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's important because when it came time to make that bulk order, it was actually much larger than the order we made for our wedding.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Okay, so fast forward, it's now 2017, so there's a full 10 years on. If you were starting off, as many people are who listen to the podcast or in the early stages, and thinking, right, I want to get an e-commerce income of some kind and put it as broad as I want to get money from products on the internet and keep it as broad as that, where would you start? Would you start with Amazon? Would you start with eBay? Would you start with your own e-commerce site?
Yeah, I mean, I teach a class on this subject, and I always advise everyone to start with Amazon just because it's easy. There's this built-in marketplace of people who are already looking for stuff. And the one thing I actually like to kind of say is, you know, a lot of people are squeamish about importing from China or private labeling stuff. And one thing that I have them do is use Terapeak to check out like how it's selling on eBay. So just in case that they import something, they always have the comfort that if things go bad, they can always liquidate their stuff on eBay. So I don't actually recommend selling on eBay outright because it's a pain and the customers are different. So I recommend everyone sell on Amazon, but kind of use eBay as like a safety valve, so to speak.
That's really, really good. That chimes with a couple of things a couple of people have said, that Perry Belcher, who's quite a big importer in the US and is involved in, you know, the digital marketer with Ryan Dice and so forth, so he knows his onions, is always talking about before you go in, finding a way to, you know, to make sure you can minimize risk by liquidating. So that's a brilliant, simple strategy. I love that. The other thing is that eBay is not particularly great thing to go for. And Will Chernin did, I think, about $1 million in 1 year with his brother on eBay. And the next year they closed their eBay account down because they found eBay was such a pain. So,
yeah, I mean, we were selling on eBay for a while too, but just the nature of the customers, they complained, they're much cheaper customers, so to speak. They're not willing to pay as much.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, that's just another person with some serious experience behind them confirming, you know, that idea, which I keep hearing from different places. So, okay, so the first thing you'd do is start on Amazon. What would you suggest that people start with Retail Arb? Would they go straight for a private label? What would your sort of starting points suggestion be?
Yeah, you know, what's funny about all this is, so I teach a class and I get a bunch of different people across all different disciplines. In my opinion, I think you should go straight for creating a unique product because it has more long-term implications. Like all the work that you're putting into it is there for the long-term. Whereas I feel like retail arbitrage, online arbitrage, those tend to be more temporary solutions because you're selling other people's products and it's not sustainable in the long run. And by long run, I generally mean between 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
The problem is that some people are just really squeamish about getting started. And so I can see that for certain personalities, they need to do maybe retail arb to just start with, just kind of gain knowledge about the whole Amazon selling process to kind of give them that confidence maybe to go into private label.
Great. So retail arb has its place, but basically is a confidence boost for people who are a bit too nervous kind of thing to go straight for private label, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think retail arb is a long-term business model and it's already starting to happen, right? Amazon's cracking down, making it harder and harder. I mean, it's still doable. And I know people that do it, but it's getting harder.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, a business partner of mine has done about £100,000 in profit or something like that over the last 2 years on with Retail Arb. But yeah, exactly. He doesn't want to go any further into it because it's just not scalable. So yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So, okay, so it's not Retail Arb as a start. You think you should go straight for your own unique product. What would you say to somebody who's got, say, $5,000 to spend, which seems to be a typical amount? Is that enough to get started?
Oh, it's definitely, that's like more than enough to get started, I would say.
So what would you say is the minimum to get started and what are the first sort of steps?
I would say the bare minimum to get started would be 1,000, but preferably a couple thousand. If you're making your own products, that is. If you're doing retail arb, you don't need that much money at all. I assume you're talking about private label, right?
Yes, private label stuff, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, when your budget is that low also, you're kind of limited to some of the cheaper products, which is fine. You can actually even get started really cheap if you go the AliExpress route, where you get products. And when you go on the AliExpress route, and I've seen this taught many different ways, but the way I teach it is you're not necessarily trying to make a profit. You're just trying to validate something that something sells with AliExpress, trying to break even basically. And then you're placing that larger order with the manufacturer. And I guess if your items are on the order of $1 to $2, I would say that, you know, like a 500 unit order, you can get by with $1,000-ish, I would say.
Okay. So there's a couple of things that sometimes come up around that. So the first question is, what do you need to do about pay-per-click advertising and Amazon ads? Are you going to need to seek some money aside for that? And do you have a figure for that roughly?
For pay-per-click?
Yeah.
So the way I see pay-per-click is it's going to take you a little bit to get profitable. But once you are, then there really isn't any budget, right? Because you're profitable at that point. There's no point in not maximizing your ad account, right?
Absolutely. But in order to get to that point, so presumably
to get to that point,
yeah,
that's a good question. It really depends on what you're trying to sell and how competitive it is, right? So for what we sell, like our ads were actually profitable right from the start.
Interesting.
And part of that reason also is we've been running our store for such a long time, like our non-Amazon store. I already knew which keywords that people search for our stuff. So it was very easy for me to pinpoint those. And I already kind of knew what our break-even point is and all that stuff for the bids. And so if you do your research, I would say, and you picked your niche correctly and it's not terribly competitive and you're priced okay, you can oftentimes be profitable right off the bat.
Great. Okay. So that brings us straight neatly to the question of how do you do your research properly and how do you find your niche properly? Because we all want profit off the bat, but it's not as easy as it sounds sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure the other guests on your show have probably beaten this to death, but I use a variety of tools like Jungle Scout. I use Longtail Pro and I use Terapeak primarily to find stuff.
Well, so you say that they've beaten it to death, but I mean, Terapeak is not something that anyone's actually really, I've heard of it like once or twice, but Longtail Pro and Terapeak are actually different tools to what I've heard. So it's always worth finding what people
need. Interesting. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So we can focus on those if you'd like. As I mentioned, once I find something that's good on Jungle Scout, I like to use Terapeak to make sure that it's selling on eBay as that safety valve as we mentioned, right? And what I specifically look for, there's this number that Terapeat gives you. It's called the sell-through rate, which is basically a number that specifies the percentage chance of an item selling once it's been listed. And I like that number to be over 33%.
Okay, so tell us a bit more. I'm just trying to work out what that, just can you break that down in very simple words for those who live?
So let's say I sell something and I put it on eBay, and the sell-through rate is 33%. That means when I list something on eBay, there is a 33% chance of that item selling. Within a given time period.
That's okay. Correct. So what kind of time period would you want to see?
I think within 30 days is what the number that Terapeat gives you.
Okay.
Okay,
but you can adjust it, but the default's kind of 30 days. Okay. So you're looking at 33% probability of selling an item within 30 days, basically, then.
Yeah, and it's just that number is just like a feel-good guideline, so that, like, let's say I'm ordering 1,000 units and I can't really get rid of them on Amazon. I know at least over time that if I'm listing them on eBay, I can eventually get rid of them.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think that really, what you've put your finger on two things. I think that the word confidence comes up, and also the safety valve, or, you know, the get out clause, liquidation side. So that, in other words, if you know going in that you have a way to minimize your losses and to recover your cash back into a form of cash rather than just stuck in inventory, that means that a big barrier to entering, a big mental barrier has been removed.
Sure. That's correct.
That's really, really good. I like that way of thinking. It makes a lot of sense.
And in terms of Longtail Pro, I use that to figure out what people are searching for on Google. I mean, it's a Google tool. However, it is reflective of what generally people are looking for. And so I use that tool to not only find out what people are searching for, but I use it to determine how viable a niche is in terms of search for your own website as well. And so keep in mind, I'm not sure if the listeners out there are familiar with my story, but we actually started out with our own store first, and then move to Amazon. And so I always, whenever I pick a product to sell, I also take into consideration how competitive it is in the website landscape, because they're two totally different marketplaces.
Okay, interesting. So you're sort of integrating your thinking about your website and Amazon together, really, when you're doing your research. You're trying to think about both. Is that right?
That's correct, because oftentimes the keywords that people are searching for on Amazon or on your own site are, you need to formulate and develop your site around those keywords as well. I mean, the only difference between Amazon and your own site is you basically need to do all the work that Amazon is doing for you on your own site.
Of course. All right. Well, let's get into your own site in a separate episode, I think. But let's continue down the line of the Amazon-based, as you say, it's the easiest place to start.
Sure.
So we've talked about the tools, which are really useful. I love the get-out-of-jail-free card that you get from Terapeat. That's brilliant. As I said, I think that's so important, as that's such a barrier for so many people. And then what about picking your niche and or products? Would you pick a niche generally first, or do you just go for individual products? How do you do that?
So if you're just starting out, and I'm assuming you're talking about from the perspective of someone just starting out, right?
Yeah.
With nothing. I say just pick one individual product and just focus on one product. If you start thinking about niches and you have to stock a whole bunch of different products, one, that's just going to spread your money thin. And two, you're not going to be able to focus, and perhaps none of your products will do well. So just pick one product. And my guidelines for picking that product is just based on reviews and revenues. I like to see products that sell at least bare minimum 150 units per month. I like to see the number of reviews under 100. And I just kind of, as I'm looking at the products, I'm looking for things that I can actually improve upon. I'm not looking at generic Me Too products. I'm looking at something that doesn't have a strong brand and something where I might actually be able to add a little bit of value to it based on what I see out there.
Okay. And could you give us an example of something like that?
Yeah. So in a webinar that I recently did, I was just randomly going through the Jungle Scout web app, the products that were spitting out. And we came across waterproof picnic blankets. And when we looked at the reviews for these picnic blankets, people were complaining that they were too thin. They didn't have a carrying case. The water actually seeped through, so it wasn't in fact waterproof. So one value add would be simply to create a carrying case, add a bit, an extra layer, a waterproof layer, so that it didn't leak through, and then just simply make it larger. And that way you can market it with a carrying case, thick, and won't blow away in the wind and that sort of thing. A much better product than what's already out there.
Okay, great. So how do you start the process? Or what's your main process for finding these products in the first place? So the criteria, and that's a lovely, clear example, are quite clear. So how do you actually find them? Would you start with a tool like the Jungle Scout web app, or do you just kind of browse around?
Yeah, so that tool is something I recommend to students who are just completely stuck. Here's the problem with using a tool like that. I mean, it's a great tool, the web app, but the problem with using a tool like that is if everyone else is using that tool, then everyone comes up with like the same products or similar products, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so in an ideal world, you do not rely on that. It's just so happens that some people just get stuck and they need ideas. And in that respect, it's a good tool.
Okay, great. That's a really clear reason to use it and a reason not to use it. So if you want to do a bit better than, as you say, do what everyone else is doing, what is your sort of process for coming up with product ideas in the first place, if you have one?
Yeah, so I can tell you how I do it. This is not necessarily how I recommend like other students do it, but we already have a niche. So our store is called bumblebeelinens.com, and we sell linens. We sell handkerchiefs, napkins, and towels. And so any product that we are looking to sell is going to be related underneath that umbrella. Okay. And so our research is actually very focused, and mostly it's design oriented as opposed to like a brand new novel product oriented thing. And so we're just looking for interesting designs. We go to China every other year to the Canton Fair, and we're going again this year. And that's how we get ideas as well, just by walking the floor. If you're brand new and you kind of don't really have any focus, what I like to do, and again, if you're just looking for a single product, you can go on Amazon and you can get an idea. Look for like non-branded products that are doing well. Push into those sellers and see what other random products they're selling, just to kind of get an idea of what else is out there. You can go on review marketplaces like Jumpsend and Snagshot to see what other people are selling, just to get an idea of what's working as well. And you know, sometimes all it takes is going through Amazon using Jungle Scout and just trying to randomly look for things that might work out. Another thing that I forgot to mention also is Terapeak. It collates all the completed listings on eBay for you, and it actually categorizes everything for you and then talks about what the hot categories are as well. And so you can go on eBay and look for interesting stuff as well that might work on Amazon, because they're two different marketplaces.
That's interesting. Okay, so that's, again, you know, you say that, you know, this stuff's done to death, but actually your approach is a little bit different. I think everyone's got a different approach, and sometimes it's just going to resonate. I mean, I like the idea that you're looking at proven data, i.e. it's already sold, it's already got history. But on the other hand, not every single person in the world and his dog is looking at that, because I mean, I personally have never come across Terapeak or not really used it, heard of it, didn't know what it was, and just kind of dismissed it. So that's a neat little strategy. I like that. I think that's good. I mean, as you say, you've got to have some kind of starting point. If you get stuck, do something. But I like the idea of not just plunging straight into liquor and Amazon like everybody else in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's tough because some people get stuck in the analysis paralysis stage also. So there's something to be said about both approaches, like doing the analysis or jumping right in. I mean, I've had students in my class that just jump right in, and they do okay, actually, because over the holidays, practically anything sells on Amazon. So,
yeah, absolutely. I've got a guy in my mastermind that just basically went to the Canton Fair and ordered a container load of stuff, which is not recommended. But he kind of came out. I mean, I think he lost a bit, but he kind of broke even, which is pretty good going, because he'd done absolutely no research and no profit and loss figures either. So he's the sort of person that I love to help, because it's just kind of easy to help somebody who's massively action orientated and doing so little of the right things that, yeah. So I know what you mean. Like, sometimes you just got to get going, haven't you, and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get lucky. I don't know. I almost feel that over the holidays, you could get by with a subpar product and still do okay. The real question is what happens after the holidays are over.
Good question. Yeah. A product's for life, not just for Christmas, right?
Right.
Hi, this is Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. I've got a quick one for you. If you're super stoked and awesomely excited to sell on Amazon, that's great. But if you're American, I'm afraid you need to stop listening, because this one is for the Brits only. I'm not being biased, but this is because I'm talking about something which is based in London. So you're going to need to be in Britain or near Britain to take advantage of it. The basic problem we have as internet entrepreneurs is we are lonely and isolated because we're tapping, sadly, at our tablets on our own. We're cooped up with our computers and we're going insane with the internet. We need to connect to other people. It's only a human thing, right? And relationships are the basis of all good business. So if you are in that situation, keep listening because we have a solution called the Amazing FBA London Mastermind. But I'm going to specifically talk to you if you're in that situation, but you are yet to launch on Amazon. So you want to launch on Amazon, you haven't got there yet. This is exactly for you. It's called the Zero to Hero Pre-Launch Mastermind. And our aim is very simple, to get you from research or importing, or even if you've got products on the way to Amazon, to launch with your first product live on Amazon. That's our goal. That's our focus. How do we achieve that? Very simple. We have a face-to-face meeting of up to 15 people, no more than that. So it's very, very focused. And you get 30 minutes minimum to talk about your business and focus on the single issue that's blocking you that month to move you forward. The other way we keep you accountable is that we have a video accountability call once a month as well, which it goes in between the physical meetups so that we keep that momentum going, because momentum's everything, guys. As you know, on your own, you just lose the dream and you fall into slowness and then the business just dies from neglect. So we do the opposite. We keep it moving. We keep each other motivated. We inspire and we tell the truth about what doesn't work so other people can learn from it. We also have a couple of other things. I give an exclusive newsletter available only to members of the Mastermind where I share the latest tips, techniques, and tricks and bigger strategies that I'm trying on my Amazon businesses and tell you what works and frankly, what doesn't work as well. So you can learn from my mistakes. And of course, there's an exclusive Facebook group to share all this good stuff with each other in between the meetings and the accountability calls. So there's a ton on offer here. It's obviously going to be very limited because it's maximum 15 people anyway. But for the first 5 people who come on board, there will be a special deal and a very special price for life. But that's obviously only for the first 5 people who come on board. So if you want to check it out, just go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind and you can find out there more about it. You can apply there as well if you want to. And if you move fast, you might even be one of the lucky first 5 people to take advantage of it as well. So that's amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. I'm going to put this video out to everyone on my podcast and everyone in the Facebook group, of which we've got nearly 900 members now, and on the YouTube channel. So I imagine that this will fill quite quickly. So if you're serious about it, get yourself over to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find. Thanks for listening.